Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Nation's capital. B. Mitch and Finley, chilling. Landfill and Brother Walker as well. And that we've earned the right to be in and hold up this fort. DOC and Heavy Metal. And what a privilege it is to be able to do this and to follow Denton Day. And they had the real heavy lifting this morning as well with Toby Altizer, the youngest in charge, and filling in for the Junks. And a lot of fun, man. And we got great content going on, and that ball's in the air now. That puck was in motion last night. Walton, man, just hearing this dude, man, just brilliant, man, broadcaster. He's the luckiest guy in the world because action, I call it now the most physical sport in the world with grace and style since the NFL has just gets so many calls and penalties and very little contact. It's just going, so that's why I just caressed the puck so much. That's why I would really had a chance to talk with one of my heroes, Mr. Ken Harvey, in my teaching and preaching canine style segment. And, of course, when I think of him, if he'd have been on the ice like Tom Wilson, can you imagine if Ken Harvey, you know, him on skates? You know what that would have been, how imposing that would have been? Like Scottie Stevens. I mean, it would have been him on blades. Rod Langway-ish. It would have been frightening. Ken, have you ever skated?
I put skates on. It wasn't pretty. it could be dangerous. You know, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And those blades are sharp. So you know, you might not want to be around me.
Yeah, it's a frightening sport to think about it, that those athletes, at the speed they generate, and they slam up against them dashboards, I mean, and they are delivering blows like nobody's business. And I would think it's almost like the impact of a sack. Are you hitting a quarterback? And I was just thinking about that. Your take on this playoff style, from what you've seen, because, you know, the level of intensity picks up. We tell people that are on the outside. There's preseason, regular season, playoffs. And it's a level of intensity that jacks itself up for everyone. I can't explain it. Some people never get to experience it. But those that have all say the same things. You agree?
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I was one who never experienced it, but I do know that it's a whole nother level, and the little mistakes that you get away with in the regular season, you can't afford to have those mistakes in postseason. And so, you know, we've had some really close games and we've had some amazing comebacks, but we can't throw, you know, a bunch of interceptions. You can't fumble the ball. You can't have, you know, stupid penalties. Not saying that that's what we've had, but you can't have those things when you get to the next level. Or if you do, the other team, who may be just as good, they'll take advantage of it because it's all you need. When you go, you know, you've been there in the locker room, the first thing they say is that, you know, there's a couple things we got to limit. We got to be aggressive. We can't make mistakes. And we got to play our ball the way we play our game. And that's kind of it, is that you cannot go into a game and make a lot of mistakes because the margin is really small for a team to win.
Yeah, I've been thinking about one of the toughest positions in sport is the defensive end, the rush end deal. And our guy, you know, Farrell, Luvu, and these guys, they have, it's never been a lack of effort. They have been trying and they've been going. You're going against a monster of a man every week. Backs are chipping on you. It's not like it's a fair deal for you on that edge, because it's not just you and the tackle. They cheat. The offense cheats. Tight end chips. Backs chip. So, you know, it's not a fair fight, but nobody has any sympathy for you. So just talk about what you see from our edge guys, because if we don't get better pressure, it's going to be very difficult to have an impact in the playoffs.
So, you know, I was going back and looking at it, and so, you know, we've had this conversation, I think, once before, is sometimes it's that second move, right? You know, you do a speed rush, but then you stop and you rip inside. And so the quarterback, when he steps up, you're right where he steps up into him. Or what I've seen a lot with our team is that there's not, you know, we were taught, you know, you push that one arm, you get him off balance, the offensive lineman off balance, you push your one arm into him, let him focus on that. Then you can do a move where you can go either right or left. We're becoming one-dimensional, so you're keeping contained, but that's all you're doing is keeping contained. And so, you know, on paper, it looks good. You've done your job. You've kept contained. But you got to understand that these quarterbacks can run now. So it's not only keeping contained, you got to hit the guy, push him, control the guy. You control the guy, not just with your speed, but with your arms as well, and then make your move. And I think that's something that, you know, we can work on that. And then, you know, the second move, once they lock up on you, it has to be a second or third move. So sometimes when they lock up on you, that's when you rip, when you do a spin move. Or if they lock up on you, that's when you slap the hands down and do a you know, a different type of move. We do that some, and we've gotten some good pressure, but not as much as I would like to see.
Can you talk us through playing the defensive end position when the quarterback's in shotgun, as opposed to when they're under center? Is it that big a difference, or is it irrelevant? Are we making too much of this?
Well, it's better for the, to me, it's better as the pass rush if he's in shotgun, right? So you can kind of gauge your distance to where you need to hit the corner to where he's going to be, or if he's going to take a step back where he's going to be. So, you know, you say normally it would take, you got to make your move in two steps if he's under the center, because you know he's going to be at a certain position. If he's further back, then you say, okay, three or four steps. But then you got to look at engage and say, if it's three or four steps, the offensive lineman, he's going to be taught to just ride you past the quarterback. So you got to say, I got to engage with him, or at least fake him out by two to three steps, so that then you're either free to hit the corner, or if you hit the corner, they'll push you into the quarterback as opposed to not. The hard thing is that, you know, these quarterbacks now, you can run and you can do, you know, you're doing the stuff that they're doing. You have to sometimes engage in the guy. And this is what I'm saying is it becomes more natural strength. You hit him, but you don't lock into him. You hit him and then you throw him. You know, you throw him either right, you throw him either left. So that way it cuts off the quarterback's ability to run. If you throw him inside, the quarterback has to run outside. And now you got the outside maneuver on him. If you throw the guy outside, the quarterback is going to think, okay, I can run inside, but now you're free because you've thrown him outside and your inside is free. And that comes from, you know, a quick hit at the line of scrimmage, you know, throwing the guy real quick and then making your moves. And that's something that I think is lacking a little bit. Everyone's trying to do more speed around the corner. And on paper, like I said, you're doing your job. You have outside contained, you're keeping outside contained, but it's not necessarily getting to the quarterback.
And I appreciate all you fantasy guys and guys that are wagers. I do this, and Kim puts this on for youth coaches that listen and the people that are teaching the game, because there's a lot of these techniques and things that are being pushed to the side right now in the game. The game is still a teaching and preaching game. And like in my era, there was so little shotgun. There's a lot of nuances to the game now. And I just think if we don't do a teaching and preaching segment, breakdown style, it's an injustice to the football community. because we're just repeating things we're hearing without teaching and learning what the hell is going on. And people are just repeating what they hear and don't have any idea what they're saying or what they're repeating. So I just think it's somebody's responsibility to have a clinic of some sort. I call it teaching and preaching from somebody that's actually done it. So that we stop this just cycle of trash. We're just recycling trash. And somebody maybe help a young person at a Pop Warner or junior high or whatever level so they actually hear it from somebody that's done it and not somebody on a game board, if it makes sense.
I'm going to say this real quick, and I apologize for interrupting you, but I wanted to get this out. So another thing that I think is really important, it's a small thing, but it's where you throw your hips. So, like, you see a guy pass rushing, and they're coming straight at the guy. And so they're trying to do their move, but their whole body is straight, you know, one-on-one facing them. You have to be able to throw your hips around. So now your hips are kind of on the outside of the guy. So then that way, if the quarterback makes the move to try to run, you're already in the position to take an angle to hit the quarterback. And if you throw your hips the right way, you can also, you know, it's almost like a martial arts move, you can use your rip or you can use your swim because now you've done that. And it has to be a kind of a quick move, but there's little subtle things about how you throw your hip, the way you put your hands and stuff like that, that can make a big difference. You know, I almost lost my job playing linebacker because tight end was just destroying me. And another player, a guy I played with a long time ago, Anthony Bell, he just told me, you know, adjust your feet. And I turned my feet in just a small angle, but that little adjustment made the world of difference. And sometimes it's just a small adjustment that can make a world of difference. We are getting pressure. There are some good sacks. There are some good, you know, good things. Quarterbacks are a lot more mobile. And so that's become harder. But I think the one thing I've looked at on film to say, what can our guys do better is that initial hit, throwing the guy into the hole. So now all of a sudden you block the quarterback from running into the hole. And now you dictate which way the quarterback is going to go. Can't go inside because you threw your guy inside, and now you roll up outside. And that gives you the power to dictate where the quarterback is going.
Essek, what do you think about this version of teaching and preaching canine style?
Oh, I think it's great. Okay. And just in regards to that, Ken, obviously the biggest change with the Commanders this season has been Jaden Daniels and his amazing escapability, his arm, his speed, everything that is Jaden. What do you see as we're going into the playoffs and as we're coming up against bigger teams? What do you see other teams doing to try and contain Jaden? And how is he going to be able to really succeed against some of the best teams in the league?
Well, one, you know, like you said, he's done an amazing job. And so some of that psychological, you know, guys are afraid to take that initial blinding hit because they're ready for him to make the move. It was like, you know, me when I went against Barry Sanders one time, you don't dive right at him because you know you're going to be on a highlight tape, you know, eating dirt, right? So he's that good. And so I think you're going to have where you say, the first guy is going to be aggressive, go and hit him. The second guy is going to have to be the follow-up in case the first guy misses. And it has to be kind of a team tackle type of thing. That's what they're going to do to try to stop Jaden because he's that good. You know, it won't work all the time, but it has to be a team effort. I've watched on film a little bit, and this is kind of throughout the NFL now, and me and my son were talking about it. A lot of players are just, they'll come in, you know, full speed, and they'll hit, but they just hit with their shoulders. No one's wrapping up. No one's, you know, grabbing somebody and driving through the person. Like they always just teach us, pretend like he's 5 yards behind. That's the person you got to hit. You got to go through the person with the ball 5 yards, drive your feet, wrap up with your arms, and get them down. And I see more people hitting with their shoulders. And, you know, players will bounce off and all that stuff. So I think if any team is playing against us, they're going to try to say, we'll have a spy guy. As soon as you see him make a move, don't hesitate. Don't do whatever. Trust your instinct and just try to lay him out. That could be dangerous, but, you know, that's the mentality if you're playing against somebody like that. Like I said, Jaden's that good. He's going to make people miss just by his presence. And he's mobile. He's He's one of those guys, you know, he's small, and so you think you're going to kill him, but small means he's slippery. He can maneuver past people, and that's a good thing for our team.
Another championship version of teaching and preaching, canine style. Ken, you're priceless, man. As Coach would say, you're simply one of the best, man. Happy New Year. God bless you and the family, brother. Can't wait to do it again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
You got
Happy
it.
Happy New Year.
Ken Harvey. Welcome back. It's not B. Mitch and Finley today. You will get B. Mitch and the youngest in charge tomorrow. And B. Mitch and Finley will be back full force on Friday.
JP tomorrow. So, no B. Mitch till Friday.
Huh?
JP is in tomorrow with Toby.
Yeah, he'll be with the youngest in charge.
B. Mitch won't be back till Friday.
Yeah, and I mean, they'll be back together Friday. I thought that's what I had said. You had me echoing like I said.
You said B. Mitch will be back tomorrow. You said B. Mitch will be back tomorrow with Toby.
Well, I did say that. Yeah,
it's all good. I just want to make sure the listeners know what they're getting.
But you back off, brother, man. You know, I've been hitting the head numerous amount of times. And I got kind of excited because we said we picked up an offensive lineman. So I was scurrying a worldwide web so I could try to get a little background. You know how a lot of y'all get a wide receiver and everybody loses their mind. That's how I get when we pick up Max, an offensive lineman. Because I realize that offensive lineman that we pick up gives us a chance so that the receiver can actually be utilized. Because without the offensive lineman, it wouldn't matter if you had Jerry Rice or Art Monk or Gary Clark, Ricky Sanders. Receiver won't have time. So we'll follow up on that. Hook'em Horns on the board first, which is really no big surprise, I don't think, to anybody in bowl the game. Well, and maybe not first, because it's 7-3. I must have missed a field goal by the Sun Devils. Bad host. But then again, I was focused on you on radio, not TV. So I won't beat myself up too bad. You know, with that, I teaching and preaching, man. Ken Harvey, dude, is just, you can tell attention to detail. Back in my day, you know, you play on the dumb jock thing. That ain't happening. I mean, it's about really understanding the game. You can tell the dude is high IQ player, and that's important to understand it. But he was ferocious. And our guys play with great intensity. I just don't think we don't have the depth that you'd love to have. But Newton's coming on. He hadn't re-injured the foot. Standersteel. I mean, our guys got tested, but, you know, Mikey's tough. I haven't seen enough for Senate. But again, you got to look at the job that's getting done. Brandon Coleman, first year, left tackle. I mean, I think he's exceeded expectations. When you get a guy that plays combo guard and tackle, big time at TCU, you know, believe it or not, but they win a national championship game, this dude can play, and he's learning. I'd love to see McCaffrey more involved, but he's growing with it. So, you know what? I mean, this class is doing okay. McGee went healthy, he had flash. So, we're greedy, all of us are, but in retrospect, man, it could have been a lot worse. We could have gotten a lot less out of people. We've had classes here that have actually underperformed. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. Encouraged. The 11 wins thing, it sounds weird saying it. I say it, comes out of my mouth, but my brain still doesn't connect with it. I don't know about you. But I've probably said it 10 times. It's mind-boggling to me. It really is. Yeah, now, what does that mean?
I'll tell you this, though. I worked the Kevin Sheehan show about the week before the season started for a day or two. I think I was filling in for Denton. I don't remember why. But anyway, I remember it was the week that he was making his final predictions on what he thought the Commanders' record would be this year. And he said that they were. He said that
Sheehan was on another vacation?
No, no, Denton was out. So I was working for Sheehan show. And this was the week before the season started. It was just like a day or two. I don't remember why Denton was out. It doesn't really matter. The important thing was that Sheehan was making his final predictions for what he thought the Commanders' record would be.
Oh, okay.
After all the preseason was over and basically spring training was done, or summer training, or whatever the heck you want to call it, was done, and he was making his final predictions, and he said he expected 10-6, or 10-7, I guess, to be the final standing. Which, and I cannot tell you, I was answering the calls that day. How many people were calling him, telling me he's crazy? He's finally lost it. I don't know what he's talking about. And now all those people are celebrating the team being 11-5. I would just like to say so. You know, there were some people that I guess thought this was happening. Sheehan was one of them, man. So
yeah, and I didn't disagree with him. I think that you should be boiled if your
people
expectations
thought he was nuts. Though they thought he was nuts
to win
for
10.
Saying that.
Now, I don't say 11. I would say 10. Not necessarily based on what you have, but looking at the average of the league, and you know the medium of the league is terrible. It's like the Bears. They're every year. There's a bottom that you just know the bottom third is terrible. Every stinking year. We're usually in it, but it's always there. Always there. Now, what are you going to base that on? What is your strong suit? Usually people do it because they have a quarterback. Now, he probably forecasted Jaden Daniels' success in saying if you got one of these guys that's a winner, in which, you know, he studies it, the game enough. SEC success translates, you like to think and hope, more so than most. And you get that. Cam coming out of Auburn. You know, don't forget the Panthers. And as much as we jones on Ron went to Super Bowl with Cam. So you can't pick and choose. You got to look at it for what it is. They had a ferocious defense. Stand still, they had playmakers and the whole thing. But, I mean, let's not act like it didn't happen. It happened. Now, you look at that staff, and you see he has some monsters on his staff. I haven't seen anybody do it without great teachers and people that go on. They prove how good they are by how many other people hire them. Their head coaches. How many people from that staff are still coaching? How many of them are elevated positions? Hell, the GM for a while was. So I'm just saying that shows you that they had good people, teachers. Their old line coach was exceptional. So I'm just saying that wasn't the blind leading the blind. They had good people. So, I mean, you know, it's how winning's not easy, man. It's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy. So we got some breaking news.
Yeah, we got a little bit of breaking news here, and I'm not sure which sounder I'm supposed to use during B. Mitch and Finley's show, because I've never had breaking news to run during this
before.
Won't
you do you?
But I will just tell you right now, it looks like they have now announced that the Sugar Bowl tonight between, Georgia and Notre Dame. They postponed that now. The Georgia-Notre Dame Sugar Bowl has been postponed. I don't think they've announced when exactly. I assume it would be pretty soon. But after the tragedy, I guess, last night on Bourbon Street, they have now postponed the game tonight in New Orleans.
Wow, that is big.
Yup.
This is appropriate.
Yeah, I've seen some other details come up, too. It looks like there was a shootout with a suspect after the police got involved last night, too, and some officers were shot, and I don't know if the suspect made it through or not, but this is a sports program, so I'm not going to dig too much into the details of that, but it looks like they postponed the game tonight because of all this.
Well, it's a sports program at a sporting event. I don't think it's inappropriate, but...
No, I understand. I don't know all the details of the crime itself is what I'm talking about.
But. Oh, I got you, yeah. I just think that, not to say that everybody there was there for the game, but I'd go out on a limb and think a large percentage of them were. and it's horrible. I mean, you know, you're a parent. I'm a parent. Your kids go, hey, we're going to the game. All right, cool. Do you? And you get your phone rings and come on.
Yeah, I remember. There's a similar situation at the South by Southwest Festival, one of the biggest music festivals in the country. A few years ago in Austin, Texas, this happened, a similar thing. So it just reminds me of that. It's really terrible. I don't really know what else to say about that, but it looks like they postponed the game for one reason. I assume a big statement about that will be coming soon. So,
No, that's great, man. That's what people, especially if they're in their car and you want to know, we got to be sensitive to it, inconveniencing your day off or whatever. What about the parents and the families? We still the people that died, but the people that are injured, we don't know how many of those people could be in intensive care. No, it's terrible. When you hit me with it this morning, because I did not know about it, hadn't heard about it, and I was watching those balls drop across the land with the celebrations and the artist. And I don't know if Dick Clark's name's on all of them, but they do get just a lot of work put into that.
Well, keep in mind, New Orleans is a couple hours behind us, too. So it would have been about, after 2 in the morning here. So it wasn't like our midnight. It was,
Yeah, well, I was getting ready for the podcast. So you're right. That I was not among the waking. I was counting cows at that point in time. And then watching the Longhorns, who are now up 14-3 over A-State. Texas is, boy, they got some athletes, as they used to say. They got some people.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one, like, my heart is with ASU, but my brain is with Texas on this one.
Yeah, and, I like this series. Kind of reminds me of the basketball March Madness. We're so used to, the four games and done, and why not extend it? I think it's cool. Not every idea is a good idea, but I like this. I like this. I don't know if I got your take on the end game, the hoops, and the, what they call the Ameris, the, I don't know what they call this thing, but I wonder if 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we'll think it's a success and credit the years that they kind of drug through taking the abuse that they're taking.
I would like to hope so. I don't know. But the problem I have right now with what the Wizards are doing is it's incredibly hard to watch this phase of the team. And I want them to be a good team, and I guess this is the way you have to do it, I guess, in the NBA. It's just I don't know, man. Unless you can get some sort of Wimbanyama super talent out of it.
How do you do that? But the worst team.
I don't know.
Look at Detroit, your worst team. You're not guaranteed the top pick.
No, you're not. Although the Nationals just got the number one draft pick through that lottery system, so I don't know. It could happen. I don't know. You also have to get it in the right year. Like, that's a thing. Not every year are you just there's a number one generational talent ready to be drafted.
Yeah, that's
true. You can have the number one overall pick, but if you're not really sure who the best, who's going to be the Hall of Famer out of this crop of kids is, I don't know.
I do like the defensive principles, at least now. At least they're watchable. I can watch them. I watch them regularly now because I respect the effort. At least they're attempting to defend. The question when it comes to hoops for me is, do you like the game with the hoisting threes? And everybody is hoisting, but not everybody can make them.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to move the three-point line back. I think Adam Silver is going to have to make that call, and they're going to have to move that three-point line back because their ratings are just being slaughtered. Nobody wants to watch a bunch of centers miss threes for 48 minutes.
The corner three has become like a layup.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to get rid of that. I've seen the proposals some people have made where it's like you just move the whole three-point line back like a foot, and then it just goes around, like curved out, but it hits the sides of so there are no more corners. There's no more. That whole shooting lane kind of thing they have over there is just gone. at least for threes. Like, you can still shoot over there if you want, but
yeah, you but know. For threes,
yeah, yeah. If you'd gone for threes, it'd just be a 2-point. And I think they're gonna have to do something like that. I don't know how you fix what's currently happening in the game without doing something like that.
And what's interesting is that the NBA All-Star Weekend, like, I like the threes more than the dunk contest.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
I like 3-point shooting contest.
And then they had the one with Steph going against
Aniska.
Yeah, that was fun to watch too.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to see more. I'd love to see Caitlin Clark going up against somebody else.
You know it's going to happen.
What?
it's going to happen. She's going to be in it. But the game, the women's game, is just, it's morphed into it. I prefer watching. I actually prefer now watching it more so on a regular basis than the men's game, unless I'm going to watch one or two or three teams in the NBA play. And, you know, it's just depending. Now I'm following, like Steph. I do like watching the senior citizens, though. I got to give you that. And I'll tell you why when we come back. I reached out to my guy, Vernon Dean. I'm waiting on a call back. We will keep you in the loop right here. B. Mitchell Finley, DOC, and Heavy Metal in for the guys. One will be back tomorrow with the youngest in charge. So stick around. We'll be right back. Has been postponed. And that's no easy thing to do, man. You know, if you had the responsibility of making that decision, then you are in high cotton. But I applaud their efforts. Safety first. 10 fatalities. A lunatic drives a truck. You can't just play this off. Can't play it off. And now the rumors are going nuts, and we'll leave that to the news people. But all we can do is pray for them. Here we are on brand new, first day of a new year. And this is real news, and this is real. It's not a game. This is serious business. And I just trust that we take this thing seriously, use caution. And, can you imagine and not have had at least one cocktail? That's the craziest crowd, a crowd that's not 100% alert. Have you done Bourbon Street before?
Yes, I love New Orleans.
It is special.
I went there for Mardi Gras once. I had some friends that were living down there after Katrina, and they were doing some of the cleanup and stuff after that. And so I figured it was about 2 years after Katrina, and I was like, well, if I'm ever going to go, I got friends that I can stay with, which makes it a lot cheaper, and just, it's good to have some locals that know where the good spots are and stuff, too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I did Mardi Gras once in, I think it was like 06, and then I did, I went down there for a bachelor party once, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And had a blast. I stayed in an Airbnb. It was the first time I used Airbnb, and I stayed about three doors off of Bourbon Street.
New Orleans.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Taking the little horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun, man. I love that town. It's a shame anyone would try to do that kind of thing, but we live in a crazy world, I guess, sometimes. But I hope all the people that are injured get well, man. That's what I worry about first, I guess. It's more important than a football game tonight, so.
Yeah, that really is. And it's I'm just trying to reflect on when is the last time you haven't been focused on this New Year's Day trio, and it's that night game. Because you're full. And you're worn out in a lot of cases. If you went out and chased that Happy New Year's ball of excitement, and it was that last game that you dozed out on. At halftime, you were struggling. because you were full and you'd run out of juice. And now for that not to happen, and under the circumstance, that's the most important thing. It's not about the game. It's about the people that lost their life. You go there for fun. You don't go there to die. Man, that's tragic. When you hit me with this more, I couldn't, because I had not heard anything about it. And, yeah, just amazing. We'll try to keep you abreast if we get any news on it. And, of course, following us, Grant and Danny. And the second youngest in charge, formerly the guy who created the whole idea of an all kidding aside, Linnell Willingham, comes up. He's got a packed show for you. And his producer's a riot. The Stallion, that'll be fun.
Stallion was just in New Orleans. Remember, the Grant and Danny show just took a little trip out there for the New Orleans Saints game like 2 weeks ago. They were just on Bourbon Street. So I'm sure Clary will have some something to say about it.
Oh, Clary's got a lot of stories. And I'm surprised. Well, not really. Tomorrow, because their new gig, they do a. They're at a local sports play of a restaurant every Friday.
Yes, the Friday field trips. I've been working those. We are.
It's fantastic.
We are at the Craft House in Fairfax Corner this Friday for Grant and Danny from 2 to 6:30. They'll be broadcasting live, and I'll be running sound. So you know, if anybody wants to come up and talk metal. You know, I get some people doing that sometimes at these. It's pretty fun. So
it's fantastic. I love it. I mean, it's whoever came up with that idea. Should never have to buy coffee for a whole year. It's just it links you with the community, and really, it's the signature to me product of the DMV because they travel and they. Exercise that deal about the DMV. And that's to me what we're all, it's all about the DMV and surrounding empty areas. But that, when you encompass that, and they just seem to do it during football season, if I'm not mistaken. But man, I love that. I love it that they do it. They've gone on some road trips, you know, with the Commanders. And it's just a really nice touch. When you get a chance to go out, I remember for many years, you travel and you get to learn your fan base that travels. Not everybody can, but that's where you see Rally Captain and Road Warrior, Tailgate Ted, all those groups of people, Hog Farmers, everybody that's there, they're not being subsidized by the organization. They fuel their fire as entrepreneurs and good business people, and they give most of it back, and they're all in. It's about passion. And when you're in these cities and you're going in as the enemy, it bonds you. It's awesome. It really is awesome. And so applaud Grant and Danny and what Stallion, what those guys do, man, it's really a good listen. And the Eckler, when they get Eckler on, man, it's great. And so that's what I like about the interaction between the club, the players, and getting guys on the air that know you're not trying to pick their pocket. But you're blending with them. You're blending with them. So any updates, Metal? Because I know you got your pulse on all this.
Nothing right now that I want to be. I don't want to talk about anything that's not confirmed.
No.
But it looks like I said, it looks like they're going to have a press conference at 1 o'clock their time in just a couple minutes. So we'll have more information then, I'm sure.
Okay. Is Lahuel? Is he anywhere close?
Linnell and Clary are both here. They're chomping at the bit to get started. I'm just sitting here looking at them, looking at me.
Yeah, I will be tuned in. It's been a lot of fun. And we got a lot of fun coming up, man. It's good. So God bless all of you. Happy New Year. Stick and stay here. I guarantee you that Grant and Danny, this episode is going to be must listen to. Peace.